I've been watching them for years. It's always been something that fit with all the animated characters that's doing their own bits. With a fry who's in the future and a family guy that sucks. With a father from a hill, a burger family runs amok. The show and spies is the same guy, except he totally same. End of verse.
Let's watch cartoons that curse.
Well, let's move on to Smuggler's Blues. So this is where the season really gets serialized, because basically 507, 508, 509 are all very continuous. Like they are all connected to each other directly. Like they end with the characters not back in the office and like continue the next episode with them out still. And then 510 through 513 kind of are the same thing, but like 510 still is super connected to 509 because the inciting incident of why they're doing what they do in 510 is what happens in 509. So it's still like, it really does feel like at this point the rest of the season is just fully serialized.
Yeah,
which is cool because
it's Columbia,
right? Because the first half of the season, I always remembered this season being serialized, but the first half really isn't that serialized. There's like overarching elements and they connect certain things, but it doesn't feel like any of the episodes like end and then the next one picks up immediately where it leaves off up until this stretch.
Man, which is cool though, because like that's the point, because it's Archer Vice. It's like an 80s show.
Yeah, and it feels like and it also feels kind of like they're easing into the trying out the serialization thing. They do the first half more episodic and then the second half more serialized, and then, you know, it feels like they learned a lot doing that, because when you look at the serialized seasons that come after this, I guess I've only seen Dreamland, but they dropped those episode counts to 8. You know, they just, I guess they maybe knew, oh, maybe it's best if we do like a shorter serialized season. Whereas this is,
I think they're
like,
mostly 8 now.
They the last are all season 8 now. Starting with Dreamland, everyone was 8. Except I think for some reason Vice is 9. Vice has one extra. yeah, or not? No, sorry, not Vice. 1999. Archer 1999 has.
That's a space
extra
one.
Yeah, that's the space one, which I haven't seen.
I've only seen Dreamland too. I meant to watch the other ones, but it got away from me.
That's where I ended, was Dreamland. I'm very excited to watch Danger Island in 1999 and the new season. They got picked up for. Yeah, Dreamland's cool. I feel like I wasn't laughing as much, but it was just like cool. It was just cool storytelling. I liked it a lot.
I just like seeing Butch Pam Cop. It's pretty good.
Yeah, true. Great. They do some good character stuff. So Smuggler's Blues. I didn't write down a whole lot for this episode, but I wrote down that I really like the Archer, Ray, Cyril trio. I think they have a fun dynamic together. Because they're all very different, and none of them like get along super well together. You know what I mean? They all kind of butt heads in different ways, which is fun. I also like cracked up hysterically when Archer's trying to fly the plane in the cold open, and he's like, what's the worst that can happen? And Cyril points out that he crashed the spaceship or whatever. And he's like, oh yeah, remember that, Ray? You got paralyzed? How do you not remember that? Just remember you got paralyzed. It's so fucked up.
I love when Archer just messes with Ray. Like, he called them like a nut. He's like, you nut. or was that Cyril? I think it was Cyril. It was one of them where he was just like, he just pokes him and just like, ah, you nut.
Oh man. Yeah, so this is the one with La Madrina, right? This is where they go in, they're trying to sell, and they go against, they go without telling Mallory, right? They go to try and sell a bunch of cocaine to, it's like a Colombian cartel, right? To like a Colombian group, so that they're going to sell some of it to them and then hopefully be able to sell them the rest of it so that they can get rid of all of it. But obviously it doesn't go as planned. They get there, as seems to be the case all of the time in this show. The drug lord is a gorgeous woman. Like, it's just it's just a constant thing, is just like, twist, they're hot. They're a hot woman. You know? But
they kind of pulled out all the stops for her too. Like, I was like, she looks better than like the average like hot girl in Archer.
Yeah. And then she tests the cocaine. It's all good. It's all very pure. And then she just like has very kinky sex with Archer for a good chunk of the episode.
I love how it starts, because he just keeps choking, like, every time she mentions.
And then that she basically, like, as soon as they're done boning, she reveals the truth, which is that she's what, an undercover what? What is she undercover again?
I think she was just in the government.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she's
in the government.
She arrests all three of them arrested. Which is a good setup. All the coke seized. It's not all the coke they had, but it's all the coke they brought with them to Colombia. So all that's seized.
Yeah.
They get arrested, and that's the end of the episode. It's like a full cliffhanger. They're literally arrested in a paddy wagon, like getting driven through the jungle at the end of this episode.
They are, aren't they?
Full on. Like, so like I said, this is where it really gets it really starts to get serialized at this point. And then you guys, I mean, was there anything else that stood out about Smuggler's Blues? Like, I feel like at this point I'm so interested in like the serialization of the season, but we do still got to talk about them individually.
There's a moment that I really like with Mallory, where she's just like yelling and screaming at Lana, but then she like breaks down and like the facade cracks, and she's just like, just save my son. Just aw. She really does care about that chick.
Yeah, she that's happened a couple times. It's like even in season one, I think she literally puts out a burn notice on him because she's mad at him. Right. So and then she realizes what she's done, and she's like, holy shit, did I just kill my son? Like,
I forgot she did that. Why'd she do that?
It's because I believe it was because he was gonna defect to Odin, to the other spy agency, the one that Barry was at. That Len Trexler ran, and then she got pissed at him about it and put out a burn notice. Something like that. But yeah, Mallory's the worst, and then she remembered, and then she occasionally realizes she's the worst.
A small moment of clarity.
Right. Yeah.
This season, this episode has a joke that fucking ruined me when I heard it. It was... because the voicemails are always funny, but like Mallory calls Archer and they say the voicemail box up, and then he just fucking laughs.
And this was also the one where
so funny.
Was it this one?
This one is like the elaborate one.
Yeah,
this one.
It was this one where she calls, but she calls Ray's phone, and and then Archer put the elaborate voicemail on Ray's phone,
right.
And he explains how he did it and how the insane lengths Archer went just to like secretly put that voicemail message on Ray's phone is so funny.
And his only takeaway is like, yeah, it sounds a little compressed.
Yeah, it's so funny.
It's so elaborate.
Yeah. Oh man. All right, you guys got any other thoughts on Smuggler's Blues? Should we move on to 508?
This one last thing isn't really a note, but we always talk about like what time period the show takes place in, and Krieger on his phone,
the lack of time period.
Yeah. On Krieger's phone though, there's an Instagram parody on his phone.
Oh really?
Yeah,
it's called
Snapgram. Yeah. I mean, his phone has a
fucking keyboard still, so I don't know.
Right. That's the thing. Is like, it feels like visually all of the technology is from the 60s and 70s, but it all functions in a modern way. Like, they talk about watching video clips on YouTube. Like, in season two with the movie star episode where she comes to, like, shadow Lana, they're watching clips of her on YouTube, and it's like, well, you're watching, yeah. And you're watching on, it like, on, those a, super on, a, old... on a, yeah, on like a Mac 2. Like, those, you're watching it on...
they're watching it on like a computer that should only be able to show text.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Which I love. I think it's great. I think
great. I love the floating timeline.
I think visually that technology is so much more interesting than modern technology. It's and it also makes your show stand out. Like, it's I would love if a fucking live action show did this. If a live action show just made the decision that we're gonna get all old school technology for everyone's technology in this and draw no attention to it and use it like it's modern technology.
Right.
I would love to see that. Like a giant brick. Imagine like a giant brick phone, like a giant brick cell phone.
People's jaw would drop if they saw a flip phone. Like,
right. True. So confused. Yeah. You're not wrong. I feel like now the implication of a flip phone in anything these days is that they're like, it's a burner phone that they're doing some shady shit with. That's like assumed no matter what.
Man,
that's why you make the president pull it out.
Phineas and Ferb wasn't that fucking long ago, but Candace has a flip phone for like 3/4 of Phineas and Ferb. And it wasn't that long ago. But I never understood why she does.
That's so funny.
It's probably the only phone they knew about.
Wait, no, it's but didn't that show, when did Phineas and Ferb start?
It started in 2007.
So the iPhone wasn't announced till 2008.
Yeah, but it ran for 7.5 years.
Yeah, but it all takes place over one summer. Right?
Get the fuck out of here. No, don't do that. Yeah, it does, but that doesn't matter.
It does matter. That's definitely their logic. No, if it all takes place in one summer, how's the technology gonna improve?
Are you trying to say Phineas and Ferb takes place only in 2007?
2007? Get the fuck out of here, Johnny.
As someone who's barely seen any Phineas and Ferb, I'm firmly saying that it all takes place in 2007. And that's canon.
that's part of the cocaine continuity.
Shit. Man.
That's co-canon.
You get out too. I'm gonna do this podcast by myself.
We might have to name this episode on YouTube Archer co-continuity. Cocaine. Can we put the word cocaine in a title? Or will we get demonetized?
We gotta. This will save us the panic that we usually go through on Monday mornings, where we're like, "Fuck, what do we call this shit?"
Yeah, we gotta start thinking of them while we're recording more.
You gotta get them in the heat of the moment.
Yeah, right. Sometimes we've come up with good ones. One of my favorites we came up with was since when we did Rick and Morty season 3, and we called it Mind Blow Kyo Drift.
That's
a pretty good one.
I don't laugh that hard. I didn't think you were going to laugh that hard.
It's funny.
I like, what was it? Tariq and Johnny do Beavis and Butthead do America.
That's pretty funny.
We might have just called it "Do Johnny and Tariq Do America" because the other title would have been really long. But that is funnier. That is a funnier title.
I like that one, and I like
Tariq and Johnny also do America.
Oh, yeah,
that's funny too.
I'm gonna change it right now to also do America.
Also do
right
America. Ah, good.
Changed. Done. Maybe we'll get some more views because that's one of our least viewed episodes. But it's a good movie. Everyone watch it.
I was just telling my roommate because he was saying that I asked him if he saw it and he said that he like started the movie, but he said he never finished it. And I was like, fam, we gotta fucking watch that movie because it's so funny.
Dude, it's such a good movie. It kind of blew my mind how I had seen it before, but it had been years and it really blew my mind how goddamn entertaining top to bottom that whole movie is. Especially because when I think about Beavis and Butthead, you think about how it's like every single thing in that show is so bite-sized, like the episodes that are narrative are short, they're like 5 minutes, then they do like the music videos, like nothing about that show, like they don't even fill out a full 22 minutes of one story in that show. No. Let alone a full movie's worth of Beavis and Butthead doing stuff together.
But it fucking works.
It fucking works. It really it's great. I'm actually very excited to see what they do for this upcoming Beavis and Butthead movie that's allegedly supposed to come out this year, but I don't think it will.
Nah. Probably not. Everything's getting pushed back.
You know what I think made it work so well was that they when you watch like a different show that goes to theaters, right, or like does a movie, you always kind of walk out saying like, oh damn, this kind of felt like a long episode. But I think the thing was that like Beavis and Butthead segments aren't long enough for you to feel like that felt like a long episode.
Totally.
So like
that's funny.
Like, oh, this is just a good movie.
Like the first act of Beavis and Butthead Do America feels like an episode where it's just them doing something dumb and it gets them into something dumber, where they're just like, somebody stole our TV, so they're looking for their TV. Like, our TV's gone. And that feels like a Beavis and Butthead episode. Like, oh shit, we need to go find our TV. And then they wander into some bigger, sillier shit with the like people who are supposed to murder that guy's wife or whatever.
It's so funny.
And so like it does, it almost feels like, yeah, it almost feels like the first act is like, this could have been an episode. And then after that, it's just gets bigger and crazier and more fun. Mm. Oh, what a good movie. Mm. Good movie. Well, maybe we should go back to Archer. Good Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, all right. Just,
next one. 508 is Rules of Extraction. This is so basically they escape the paddy wagon that they're being arrested in because it crashes, and then they have to float down a river to try and escape, basically. It feels almost like a sequel. It almost feels like a sequel to the Pipeline episode in season two, where Archer and Lana are basically floating down a river the whole episode. And there's a lot of gators in that one. That was the first one they started talking about gators. And then this one's got a ton of gator talk.
These are crocodiles.
Oh yeah, sorry. Well, okay. It's all of the above.
Do they make a joke about that?
And I think that's why I wrote it.
Because Archer knows a lot about them.
He knows a lot about every single kind, because his three biggest fears are alligators, crocodiles, and brain aneurysms. his three biggest fears.
And isn't his fucking favorite movie Gator?
Yeah, he loves Gator. Starring Burt Reynolds.
I think it's Gator, but he like flip flops between like another one.
Yeah, but the other one's a Burt Reynolds movie too.
Yeah. He just loves Burt Reynolds.
Loves Burt Reynolds, his surrogate dad for an episode. Man,
he just
that was
kept
a good
laughing
episode.
At him.
So good. But yeah, like this is the first episode of the season that just picks up directly where the last one left off, and it's like, oh, okay, well, like they're literally still, they need to be extracted from, they gotta get out of Colombia. Are they in Colombia? Are they in Colombia for these?
Yeah.
Or do they go, is Colombia for this? And then they go to San Marcos, a fictional country, for the end of the season.
Yeah.
They do have a lot of fictional countries in this. For these three episodes, I really like the Archer Ray Cyril dynamic, because they, like I said before, they all just like hate each other in such different ways. they've all got like such different problems with each other. And it's funny when like, sometimes Cyril and Ray are just like pissed at Archer for the same reason, but then sometimes Ray will just like side with Archer when they're making fun of Cyril.
yeah.
It's really funny.
Like Cyril's patheticness brings them together.
Yeah, exactly. It's great. But this one I like the stakes in this one. Like, A, they're on the river and Archer's scared of the gators, and then Ray sets the... Oh, wait, what happens first? Who do they... Oh, no, it's gators first. The gators show up first, and then he tries to shoot the... what's it called? The gas canister to blow them up, right?
It doesn't work.
But it doesn't explode, so they just get covered in gas and leave.
Right.
And then Ray sets the whole raft on fire.
Well, before that, Ray throws the fucking hat, and then he's like, oh, they got a taste for it. And then he thought they were going to say human. He was going to say human flesh, but he's like, no, I was going to say hat. But
taste for hat.
Oh man.
Oh no.
I admittedly, this was my first episode I threw on this morning, And so I was a little tired, and I don't have many notes for it. You guys have any thoughts on Rules of Extraction? I was still waking up this morning when I put this one.
See, the guy's getting eaten by the crocodiles. That shit was terrifying.
That's yeah, that was messed up. It's pretty so detailed.
Yeah, they do go. They go pretty nuts with a lot of the action in this season. And there's like there's kind of a lot of gross stuff. I feel like. Like a lot of
is this the one where Ray throws out his back?
So if he doesn't throw out his back. What happens is when they crash the wagon, it's played like he's paralyzed again. Like once again, his bionic legs have stopped working. Right? Isn't that what they say?
Yeah.
I think so.
Or do they say he just threw out his back? Because then Archer's.
I remember there's a scene where like he tries to lift up the car and he like throws out his back and he can't.
Oh, maybe that was it. Maybe I missed. Maybe I just misremembered.
I don't know if that's that season or if it's a different season. I remember his legs break a lot.
Yeah, well, that's like the whole recurring thing. But this one, he's like Archer's carrying him the whole this episode and the next episode, and then there's like the really funny.
Oh yeah, he Archer, just leaps down.
Basically, Archer just like admits that he's a huge asshole, and he's just like, "I just wanted to hear you admit it." And then he gets off, and he just starts. Yeah. And he just walks forward like he's fine. He's totally fine. It's so funny.
And he's cool with it. He like laughs at it.
Yeah,
he's
funny. at least he's self-aware.
Yeah. That's funny. I'm into that.
That's pretty good.
On that note, should we move on to 509 on the carpet? This the third in this little serialized trilogy.
There's one other really important thing in this one. This is the one where like Mallory kind of breaks. This is like because Lana's like, oh shit! Like I think like she's like literally at hell, like wits end.
Right. I think you're right. That's right. Yeah.
Don't they try and like relax her? But, like it fails.
Oh right. Yeah, that is what happens.
Yeah,
and then this is also when I think is this it when Lana thinks that Archer knew the whole thing the whole time, like something like that. Like
no, that's the end.
I think they start to talk about it earlier.
They start talking about it though, don't they? Because there's like a back and forth thing. There's
yeah, like they're just like Lana's just very convinced that Archer knew about the cocaine thing the whole time, but. That is a nice moment in the finale, which we'll get to soon. Yeah, good stuff. All right, well, on the carpet, my first note is just Christian Slater, LOL.
Yes, he's just called Slater,
and they don't even draw attention. They don't have even a character be like you look and sound just like Christian Slater and your name is Slater. Yeah. He's just literally Christian Slater and his name is Slater.
And that's why it took me till this the next time he shows up for me to go, who the fuck is this? Then I looked it up and I was like, wait a minute,
it's Christian Slater.
It's so funny.
They pulled that in the last season with Eric Andre. It's basically Eric Andre.
It's so funny because he's played by Christian Slater, and it looks like he shows up in season 6, but I don't even remember. I didn't even remember that he is actually in a lot of episodes of season 6, which is interesting. Maybe that's I wonder if that's how they get back into the spy game is through their connection with Slater at the CIA, right? Now that they now they do actual sanctioned spy work. Is that how season 6 works? I don't remember.
Yeah, because that's how the season ends.
Right. That's right. Right.
But it's not Slater. It's the other guy.
It's the other guy. But you got to bring back Christian Slater playing Slater.
Yeah.
it's pretty funny. I don't even remember what he said, but Cyril says something, and Mallory just says, "Because you are a timid man, Cyril." Like, <she's>, that made me laugh so hard.
You are a timid man. Yeah, they kind of rail on Cyril for like 2 episodes before his the big reveal.
Right. And this is also kind of a weird episode because even though it does follow up the previous episode, it's all done through the lens of this flashback where it almost feels like some kind of murder mystery where, like, you know, they're all in the parlor together and Mallory's like, all right, what happened here? And which is kind of weird. Like, I almost felt like it didn't need that framing device. It almost felt like it was because they were like maybe a little, wary of like three serialized episodes in a row at this point. They were like, well, let's frame this one around something else. But it was weird because they cut to that and then they keep flashing back to the events that take place immediately after 508. But I really like the plane stuff. Oh, I guess the plane stuff, you know what? The stuff we were just talking about was in the last episode when he's pretending to be paralyzed, then he just gets up. And then they get in the plane at the end of Rules of Extraction, and then this one, the whole thing takes place on the plane, landing it, right? Like, trying to get back to the United States with the plane full of cocaine.
Oh, that is this one. Okay.
Yeah. And then they land... Where is it? They land in, like, the Everglades or something. That's where Christian Slater is. Right. And he doesn't even care that the people who are supposed to meet him there aren't on the plane because they brought the cocaine,
right?
Which is pretty funny.
This made me realize how often Archer goes for Randy.
Loves being called Randy. Yeah, he's Rand. What is he, Rando in this? He goes Rando.
He's Rando.
Yeah.
The only note I have for this episode is when he says, "Ma, they don't kill the old Rando."
I love that him and Slater get along for like a little bit, like
the classic Rando.
Yeah, classic Rando.
And then he goes by Randy. Did that start in Honeypot? Was he Randy when he was pretending to be gay in season one with when he was trying to
maybe
try,
yeah, think, yeah.
Was he maybe
so. I don't know, I don't remember what name he went by.
I just remember his outfit.
Yes,
yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Yeah, I remember that.
Sure.
Roll skates and shit. Yeah.
So funny.
Classic Rando.
Yeah. My favorite joke in this episode was the reveal that like Krieger's been spending all this money to build the submarine and he built it in the pool. And Lana's just like, "How are you gonna get it out of here?" It's like, damn it.
Oh, he just blows it up, doesn't he?
I think so, yeah. Man. It's kind of a weird episode because it is like, it does feel like there's two things happening at once. There's like all of the stuff in the parlor or whatever with like conveying all the information, and then it keeps flashing back to all of the stuff on the plane. I don't know. I don't have many other thoughts on this one. How about you guys?
No, me neither.
No, that's about it.
I love Christian Slater as Slater. That's great. Good stuff. Okay, well, let's move on to this last stretch, which basically are all pretty connected. Like, they're all very directly connected. So
Archer,
I guess
the big
thing to know at the end of the last episode is that Christian Slater takes the cocaine and then loads their plane up with a bunch of weapons. And now they're expected to go sell those weapons to the dictator in San Marcos, which is a fictional country,
yeah,
I believe.
Give me a sec.
Yeah, give me a sec. Is San Marcos
just
a real country?
You just pissed off our entire San Marcos demographic.
All 12 of them.
They're fucking heated. They're ripping their cartoons, their cursed shirts off right now.
I fucking died at there's a joke at the beginning and they're on the plane and Archer says something like, it does kind of feel like we're on a school bus, and Alana goes, "When have you ever been on a bus?" And he goes, "No, Lana, like from the movies." That's his only understanding of buses. It's like from the movies.
Like from the movies.
That's so good. But it's also interesting that like, I guess they had to do this because these last four episodes, like they wanted everyone to be involved, but like the whole team goes along for this. Mallory too. Like the whole team goes to San Marcos to sell this stuff. I guess Pam and Cheryl weren't supposed to go, but they stow away again, as they tend to do at least once a season. They stow away somewhere.
They always, they eventually are just like, you know what, you guys just come because you'll come anyway. So
Exactly. You'll find your way here. So fuck it.
Yeah, that's funny. And this is when they have the whole conversation about Pam being the janitor from Breakfast Club.
Yeah.
And Lana being pissed that she doesn't, that they won't give her Molly Ringwald.
I'm obviously the hot one.
I don't understand where they're coming from. She's the hot one. If you ask me, she's the hot one.
Is this the episode where Archie just randomly kisses like Charlene?
Does he? I don't even remember.
There's an episode where it's like a crash and he just like kisses her and then he just throws her.
I don't even remember that. How did I miss that?
I
don't really.
I think it's from this season, but maybe it's not.
It's Mandela, bro. Right? That shit ain't happening. You saw some.
You know it happened. No, it for sure happened.
You watched Archer.
Archer. No. You watched Arthur Vice.
That's Arthur and Francine. That's what you watched.
I love that the dictator is obsessed with Charlene. That's really funny. Like she's already a huge success. And
like he's the reason.
Also a great guest performance. I'm pretty sure that was Fred Armisen, who's very funny. Very funny performer. Loved his performance as, I can't remember his name, but the dictator of San Marcos. And then this is the first one that reveals the Krieger clones. I also just think the palace is a really cool location. I think there's a good reason to do two episodes there, because it's just a great location for the show. Like I like when they go to a fancy elaborate places. Like last season they're in the Vatican. That was a pretty cool location, even though that episode's kind of mid. But yeah, just visually I like this one.
All the sets in Archer always look so good.
They do. Yeah. They really look good.
Especially this season. There's like so many cool locations.
I think this season had a big step up visually. Like it looks mm-hmm. really nice. Mm-hmm. There's the whole subplot with the dictator's wife pretending to be a maid and seducing Archer.
Yeah.
Was it in this one or the next one when... Oh, it's in the next... Oh, no, I think it's in this one. When Archer's like confessing to Lana that like what happened with her, and like that he's worried that he's gonna get in trouble about it, and Lana's just like, what does casual or what does anonymous sex mean to you? Because he tells her earlier that he's having less anonymous sex, and he's like, I don't know, like bird masks or like someone you just meet on the train.
Bird masks.
That's really funny. Yeah, I like these episodes. Like these ones kind of blend together a little bit, even though they're a little separate. But I think the palace is a cool location. I guess we can move. Do you guys have any other thoughts on part one, or should we just talk about part one and two together?
Kind of just bleeds into the next one. I think we can just
I do. There's a gag in this one that I really like. It's when they're looking at that painting that's like just a fucking blank canvas. And Archer, like, almost, he, like, they literally play it up to where you think he's going to fucking spit take, but he just swallows it.
right. It's because it's the spit take of how expensive the painting is, right?
Right, yeah.
Like, and so if he spit takes, he's going to ruin the painting. So he swallows it. It's really good. It's really funny. That's good. Good physical gag. And then the reveal of the Krieger clones, fucking Krieger clones,
that shot is so funny because he cries.
Yeah, he's so like, wouldn't that like rock your worldview though if he just walked into a room of three of you, like three other youths?
And it's funny because I love the Krieger clones subplot. But I did not remember it being in Vice, because that's so like, it's so sci-fi in a season that's otherwise 80s Vice themed, you know, it's like drug cartel themed. And they're like, oh yeah, also here's a little subplot about Krieger having clones.
That's how those 80s shows were. There'd always be like one weird one.
Right. For sure. Yeah, it's so funny to me. And they did kind of set it up because they showed Krieger trying to clone himself in other seasons. Like they have that shit going on. And then they introduced the Kriegers in part two, and
they all wear their bow ties.
Yeah, so no, they all, aren't they wearing regular ties, and then ours is wearing a bow tie.
Ours is wearing.
Oh wait, ours has a bow tie.
Yeah, ours has a bow tie, so we can differentiate.
He does that. Yeah, he does that quip at the end because they try to fucking strangle him or something. He's like, you can't do that with a bow tie. And that's what made me realize, like, oh shit, we got the wrong one. Because he makes a point to say, I forget who he's talking to, but he's like, yeah, no, nah, I kind of said fuck the bow tie. I realized that normal ties are better. And I was like, is this the fucking wrong Krieger?
And yeah, it's gotta be.
They leave it ambiguous though, because he also gets a little head trauma. Like,
man.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's true. Like, does the guy just think he's the normal Krieger? Yeah. I don't know if they ever follow this up, but I'm excited to keep watching.
They definitely don't.
Hey, you've only watched through Dreamland. You don't know. We got 4 or 5 more seasons to go. Yeah, I really like the stuff with the dictator, and like just the fact that they're like the whole subplot with the rebels and his like his regime and everything, and like their realization that they're potentially just arming a dictatorship. It's pretty fucked up.
I like the dictator talking to Carol, and he's like, he says Jorge Washington, and then she says, okay, so I'm just gonna act like I didn't know that I was pronouncing his name wrong all this time. So she doesn't even fucking correct him.
Yeah. Jorge Washington.
Jorge.
I just love that he's the only reason she's like chart topping.
Oh wait,
right. Yeah, he buys the million records, so he gets platinum.
Part
it's so
two
funny.
Starts that bit that they do for the rest of the season where they just keep fucking smacking everybody.
Yeah, I love that bit. Cause it always ends with the last like really hard smack.
Right. Oh man.
My friend did that to me once.
I like this two-parter. I think these are good. I also love visually when Cyril's going to try to find a car, that like all of the cars in the garage. They had to design so many cars for that scene, but they look so cool. There's so many good ones in there. Yeah, I like that shit. The extravagant wealth of dictatorships is visually fun to watch.
One can only
episode.
Dream.
All right, should we move on to... should we move on to 512 filibuster?
Yeah.
Let's go ahead. Let's do it.
So this also basically follows this up directly, because they Cyril takes over San Marcos. He becomes the dictator of San Marcos, which is so funny. And then Archer and the previous dictator and his wife are in jail. They're in the prison of the palace. Everyone else is chilling, enjoying Cyril's dictatorship.
Yeah, everyone's
apparently.
Just like, they're cool with it.
Mallory, especially, because Mallory is, so I know you don't watch Star Wars, Tariq, but Lana has the reference here that's basically revealing why Mallory is going along with it, and she's just like, oh, I realize it now. Cyril is just the Vader to your Palpatine, which is a Star Wars, like, Vader is like the right hand man of the real big bad, the Emperor. And so that's the reference there, which is pretty accurate.
Nice
Star Wars ref in our, which makes it's good for 80s for 80 our 80s season, our Archer Vice season, which since most of those, the original trilogy came out in the 80s. Although, well, they didn't reveal the Emperor's name was Palpatine until the prequels, which came out in the 90s and 2000s. So not perfect, but you know,
we'll let it slide, Archer. Better luck next time.
This is reminding me of that fucking Simpsons bit with the comic nerd is like asking the itchy and scratchy animator why he like hits one rib and it makes one sound one time and he hits the rib again and makes a different sound.
Yeah. Yeah. Are we supposed to believe that this is some sort of magic xylophone? Oh, that's so good. Man, I truly love The Simpsons.
I'm glad you finally got into it.
Dean, that's what I've been saying to you for the last 2 months.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've watched so much Simpsons, probably like I don't know.
He was about to say more than us, but that's a lie. That's a lie.
I think on any day I could never claim that.
I watched a lot the last couple months. I watched basically seasons 9 through 11. I've pretty much almost finished 11 at this point, I think. So I'm making my way through the Scully era, and I was right. I am so nostalgic for these episodes because they were like the ones that were airing when I was they were the new episodes when I was most into The Simpsons. So you know, I was watching all the reruns, but the ones that I watched on Sundays were like mostly these, and these are the ones I've seen so little over the course of the last 15 years. So it's been fun. It's been a nice rewatch. I also think season 9 is really good. I think season 9 has some really good episodes.
I threw in that Faith Off episode because I've never seen it before. The one where Bart is like,
You know what's funny is that is the episode I am on next.
Yeah,
I'm at that one. Yeah,
it reminded me of a problem that I have with those episodes is that like I'll fucking if I enjoy it, I'll really like the first and second act, and then it'll just go somewhere else in the third. And I'm like, where the fuck are you going? Like, it'll go to like some completely different. And
these seasons in particular, yeah, the Scully era in particular is very much like it almost feels like every act is so segmented because like they've always kind of had that in The Simpsons where they have something happening in the first act that leads to the real plot, but with the Scully era, they feel so separated. Like it's such a completely different premise for the first act, and then it dives into like here's what the plot of the episode is, and then the third act is usually like, oh, the fallout of the plot is takes them to an even crazier place, right?
Right. Yeah.
It's the jockeys in Saddle Sore Galactica, you know? Like,
right, exactly,
it's that kind of stuff,
because I like that, like Don Cheadle does a great, it's fucking Don Cheadle, and he does a great job. I love Don Cheadle. Anybody that knows me knows that I love Don Cheadle. So he does a great job.
Best Donald Duck.
The song's good. He's the best fucking Donald Duck, man. They should have kept him as Donald Duck for the rest of his life. That's what made me, I still want to watch DuckTales one day and like really watch the whole thing. But like, I almost watched the entire season and series in a weekend when I was like, wait, is he just fucking Donald from that one? And I was like, no, okay, it's just that one time. Okay, all right, never mind.
You should watch it. That's like Disney's best cartoon in like
Yeah, people years. Love that DuckTales. I gotta check it out at some point. I was like, I have some nostalgia for the original show, but I didn't like watch all of it. I just watched it when it was on when I was a kid. So I'm not like super attached to it or anything.
I wasn't like, I mean, I watched a lot of DuckTales growing up, but like, I more so have like as a whole, like Disney Afternoon, Disney like one nostalgia, and that's where that pretty much came in for me.
Oh, for sure. Did you get those books?
Did they say they're here?
I don't know. I was just asking.
I haven't checked the mail today.
Oh,
so
comic books? Okay. Yeah. I haven't opened it yet. I got it.
You got yours. Okay. There's some surprises.
I'll check the mail and see if I got mine.
Should I open it live right now? It's right here.
Fuck it. Do it loud.
You guys can hear me open up this package.
Yeah,
listen, if you're just
ASMR.
When I was moving, I didn't want to throw my comics away, so I gave them to all my friends.
Yeah, it was very nice. Here we go.
What you got in
there? Not going to show you guys my address.
Right.
Hell
why
yeah.
Not? Is that for the Patreon?
The last time I did that, Tariq.
Oh, you got Shrek at your fucking
door.
All
four Shrek movies.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah. Dude, I love the art on these damn Futurama comics. They're so good. Look at that cover. That's so sick. All right, we got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 Futurama Ooh. Comics. Hell yeah. Oh, you threw in some Simpsons.
Yeah, I did.
Hell yeah. These are great. Bart, here's Homer selling Radioactive Man t-shirts.
Are there any Bartman ones?
Well, let's see.
There's a Bart Simpson one.
Not
a Bart man.
Yep,
though.
Here's a Bart Simpson comic. I remember this cover. I remember this cover vividly. That's funny.
I know I have a bunch of Bart man comics.
The Radioactive Man event part 2. Where's part 1? How did you do this to me, Tariq?
You ruined it.
Hey man, I must not have went to the comic book store that month.
I wish it was issue 1 of 2. It'd be even funnier.
That would be funny.
Just imagine right. Johnny at like 2 a.m. just like, oh, that was great. Not for the next issue. Now for the next issue. Then where's
it's like looking in the flat.
That's when you shake the comic book and a note falls down from Tariq, just like, gotcha.
I gotcha. All right. Well, let's wrap this up. Let's talk about the finale. The filibuster. Okay.
Wait,
the tiger.
I want to say, do we even talk about the filibuster?
We talked about it a little bit. Okay. So, but let's talk. I want to talk about the tiger. Love the tiger.
Tiger's great.
Return of Tigers and Archer's obsession.
And Archer's
with
weird
Doolittle
ability.
He's such an animal person. It's so funny. What else? Do you guys have any other thoughts about this episode? Because the cliffhanger was great, but I don't want to bring up the cliffhanger until we talked more about it.
This messed up how the dictator dies.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Does he
the
get
fucking
eaten by
tiger?
Tiger? Yeah.
Yeah, the tiger gets him.
That shit is rough.
No, that's
oh,
good.
And then
that's
that,
good.
That
he owned a tiger. He shouldn't have owned a tiger. He got what he deserved.
That leads to a bit. I don't remember what Archer says to Carol, but then he says that was actually a proverb, and then she says that was actually a tiger.
Oh, it's so good. So funny.
It's actually a tiger.
There.
Dean, you got
the wedding.
That's right.
There's one with the right. sick ass wedding. And then Pam.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Where he like forces her to marry him.
Zero
yeah.
is so gross in this. He just becomes the worst person ever.
Right.
But you get it, though, because he's been Zero for the rest of the season. So he needs a break.
Fair.
It's a piece of shit.
Man, yeah, Cyril sucks. Cyril's the fucking worst.
That reminds, like, I like in a few episodes where him and Krieger kind of bond over porn. It's really funny.
Yeah,
they watch a lot of the same stuff.
Yeah, it is funny because like Cyril is very rarely outright talking about it, but he is very often like subtly hinting about all the porn he's into. yeah, it's good stuff. But I love the end of this episode because it's the my water just broke cliffhanger, which is it's a great cliffhanger. That's a good suspenseful cliffhanger for the end of an episode.
Yeah.
And then the end, the finale, arrivals/departures, which is a great name because it's the arrival of the baby is born. And the departure from San Marcos from the airport. It happens at the airport, right?
Yeah.
Right. So one of the things that they said a few times in this episode that cracked me up is Cheryl like routinely forgetting that that Lana's having a baby, and then just being like, she's having a baby. And she goes, gross.
She's like, gross.
Gross. Gross.
she keeps saying it.
Yeah. This is like a big action-packed finale with like the government, like the U.S. government coming on to like bomb all of San Marcos, basically. It's crazy. Right, yeah.
And the whole time they're trying to disarm a missile.
Right. Yeah. It's got so much going on. They're disarming a missile. The government's coming on to try and potentially like to blow up the palace and a lot of the country. The baby is coming and they have to escape. Like there's all these things happening, all of it at once. It's crazy, but it's fun. I really enjoy this episode. I think it's a fun one. Do you guys have
watching
any...
all the Kriegers fight to the death?
Yeah, the Kriegers fighting. Did only one survive? did the Krieger we followed die? Is that the implication?
All four of them fall.
Okay.
They all fall. So
and then
and that's
one
why I'm
returns.
Like, right. And I remember watching it going like, did he just fucking die? Like I didn't think that's how they were.
I was scared. I was like, when I first saw it, I was like, no, not Krieger. I love Krieger.
And also, this is his first season where Lucky Yates gets opening titles credit. So like, it would have been a bummer if they killed him after this season.
We didn't talk about it. They add that little extra note to the theme.
Yeah, the theme is a little different. They changed the color palette to be Vice themed. They actually changed a couple animations. Cyril's got like a walkie-talkie now in the opening. So like,
but
and
Archer
has like the cool suit.
Yeah.
Right. And they had to extend the instrumental so they there's like
to add
more
Lucky
beat.
Yates in, right?
So they got him. Yeah.
Hell yeah. I love the Archer intro. Good stuff.
Wait, it's really cool. It's fun watching it change.
Editing note for me, is D'Angelo frozen for you, Johnny?
No, he's not. We're talking to him. Can you hear him?
I can hear him. Right. He's just frozen.
Oh, great. No, he's not frozen for me.
He's good now. He's good now.
All our videos are recording on our own machines, so we should be good.
Was I supposed to be recording something?
No.
No.
The website does it for you.
The way the website does it is it records on your machine and then it uploads it to the cloud. So even if we see the stream differently, here's a little inside info on how Zedcaster works, folks. So regardless, as long as we're in here and it's not like totally frozen and we haven't lost internet, we should be in good shape.
Awesome.
Okay.
I thought for sure I had something I had to do and didn't.
Nah. What if you just fucked the podcast up, bro? What if you just fucked the pod up, bro? Now we got
it ends with me. It ends with me.
Oh yeah, do this shit all
We're
over
done again. Forever. This is over. I think this is a great season finale. It feels so big and crazy. And also there's personal stakes with like the Lana stuff. It's good. I really like this one. And also funny. It's a funny one. But it does
like
feel
Archer
like
became a doula for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think the ending is really sweet. Like Lana expressing how upset she is that Archer lied to him. Or let Archer lied to her, and then Mallory being like, he didn't know. I swear to God, he didn't know. Like Mallory doing something nice for Archer, basically, which is so rare. Yeah.
It's so funny. She's like, oh, it must have hurt you so much to tell the truth.
Yeah. Right. And then they also like, so when they, so the big, obviously the big reveal at the end of the episode is that Lana used Archer's semen sample for her pregnancy. So it was, and they even tied it into some other stuff to season two when he had cancer, and they do some retconning where he basically saved some of his sperm just in case, but they do a really funny thing, which is that they, when she's explaining it to him, he like zones out and you hear the like almost like the flashbang sound. Yeah, the tinnitus sound. And then they foreshadow the coma seasons by being like, I just thought that maybe I was in a coma since I saved your life 8 months ago. And maybe I was just waking up from that coma right now. Which is funny because like, that's literally what they do for three seasons later. They like, and those are all the other themed seasons. Like this is a themed season. It's they hint at the coma thing. And then three seasons after this, they do the coma thing for real.
Yeah,
which is interesting. But I mentioned this earlier. I think it's crazy that this is the first time any episode of this whole show doesn't end on a one-liner joke. They end the season on like a real emotional beat, which like literally never happens. Like it's literally never happened. Even when they have an emotional beat at the end of an episode, they always undercut it with a joke. And this is the first time I've ever seen them not do that. But it's nice.
Were they already renewed? did they think they were going to get canceled?
I expect they were probably already renewed. The show was a really big hit for FX and it's still on.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Yeah, this thing, it won't die.
Yeah. Yeah, everyone thinks it's going to end and then they keep renewing it. I'm really curious. I mean, I obviously haven't seen anything since season 8, so I have no opinions about the modern stuff.
The last two seasons have been pretty good, especially the last one. The last one was great.
I'm excited. Oh wait, so have you been watching the modern seasons, but not
I just haven't seen the dream
two
ones.
You haven't watched two of the dream seasons? That's interesting.
I got excited because it was like, oh, he's back. I was like, okay, I'll skip these for later,
right? Well, we'll talk about them a lot when we get to them, but
I want to talk about 12.
All right, we got you. Sick. We'll do you're booked for 12. We talked about this before, but it's interesting because Adam Reed is pens the script for almost every episode of the show, and then but then for the new seasons he's not a writer at all. So I'm just curious what the heck the show is like now.
it's interesting.
Yeah. Cool. You guys got any thoughts on this finale?
Man, I was so invested in it that
I didn't write anything down.
Yeah, it says that I was so invested that I forgot to take notes.
Yeah, I felt that way for a lot of these last four. I was like, I was really invested, so my notes are very skimpy for the last few episodes. But it's like I love the way that this whole season just ends with a full serialized like six episode arc. It's pretty cool. Seven episode arc. It's pretty
so
cool.
So energized and everywhere. It's great.
And just like it's so interesting how you can just change something ever so slightly about the show. Like the core dynamics of the show don't change, but you just change slightly switch the perspective on the premise. So like they're doing similar shit, but now they're drug dealers instead of spies. And all of a sudden the show feels so fresh. Like it just has, oh, you got a dog? You guys, is that a dog barking?
No, I don't have a dog.
this is something we're going to have to deal with in your new apartment. You got dog.
Close the window. All right. That didn't happen. Okay. We're back. All right.
but yeah, this season feels so fresh to me. Like I remembered liking this season. And I remembered always enjoying it, but watching through it again this time, I was like, wow, this is definitely one of my favorite seasons of the show. Like probably top three of these five seasons that we've watched. Maybe top two. Like, I think my favorite is still season three, and then season two and three, or seasons two and Vice are like kind of on par as my second favorite, I think. But man,
I usually get stuck between Vice and season three, but I think Vice is just so different and so fun, and so like they take a lot of risk, and like it all pays off because like
totally
such a solid season of TV.
It really is, and it doesn't feel It's really impressive how it doesn't feel significantly different, but it does feel different enough that you really feel like it's fresh, you know? So like, it's not a changed show, but it is new in a way.
Gives them some wiggle room to like stretch out.
Exactly.
Try some new things.
Big fan of Vice. Yeah. Big fan of Vice.
Man,
what about you guys? You guys got any other thoughts on the season as a whole?
I think I've said this before, but when I think of Archer, I do think of this season because this was the one that, like, when I first binged the show, like, this is what stood out to me. Like, all the shit with, like, Pam and, like, everything like that. Like, it really, really stood out to me. And, yeah, even rewatching it for this, I enjoyed the fuck out of it. It was a blast. Like, if anything, like, they kind of do that are we not doing phrasing? They do that like 50 fucking times.
They do that so many times. But they try and bring a different joke. It just replaces phrasing because it's the same joke. It's the joke. The punchline is still phrasing, But now that they've done it so many times, they're just like, they change it to, can we unretire phrasing, please?
Like, what's the, they try and replace it with like, his, like, says Ripley to the, like,
oh, yeah.
The bishop. it was so clumsy. They knew it was.
Good season. Good fucking season.
Like, no one likes it. It's so funny.
Right.
Should we rank them?
Yeah, we should. Dean, did you rank
these? Dean, did you rank? We didn't ask you.
No, but I will.
Okay. Try to write it down. It's hard. It's hard to do off the top of your head.
I'll just pull up. I'll pull up the episodes and I'll do it right now.
All
right,
go for it. I'll go first and I'll go slow, so that you have a minute.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, like, I had a hard time ranking the season because so much of the enjoyment of this season is that it's all connected and serialized.
Right,
so, like,
absolutely.
Even like, I feel like putting episodes low on this list don't necessarily indicate, like, if I did that, I didn't like them, because I still like them in the context of the season. Like, there's not really any episodes this season that I don't like.
Yeah.
So here we go. Starting with 13, On the Carpet, 12, A Debt of Honor, 11, Rules of Extraction, 10, Smuggler Blues, 9, Southbound and Down, 8, Filibuster, 7, Palace Intrigue Part 2, 6, Palace Intrigue Part 1, 5, A Kills While Dying, 4, Arrival/Departure, 3, House Call, 2, White Elephant, and 1, Baby Shower.
We match up a little bit around the middle.
As per usual.
Yeah, right? We always match up a little bit.
We always
so
match up a little
Dean,
bit.
Dean, I could go.
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Let's do 13, Smuggler's Blues, 12, The Rules of Extraction, 11, On the Carpet, 10, A Kiss While Dying, 9, A Debt of Honor, 8, Filibuster, 7, Palace Intrigue Part 2, 6, Palace Intrigue Part 1.
Wow, 5, we nailed those three.
Calls. Yeah, we really did. 5, House Calls, 4, Baby Shower, 3, Southbound and Down, 2, Arrivals/Departure, and 1, White Elephant.
Hell yeah. That's a good list. We mostly had our stuff on the same halves. Like, we mostly had all the, like, the, yeah, different orders. A couple things change here and there, but that tends to be the case with us a lot of the time, is we don't have the same order, but we usually have all the best ones on the top and all the worst ones on the bottom, and they kind of match.
Right. Yeah.
All right, Dean, you ready?
All right. It's your turn.
I'll do my best. Okay. So I guess for 13, I'm going to do A Debt of Honor. Then for 12, Southbound and Down. 11, I'll do On the Carpet. For 10, maybe Smuggler's Blues.
Mm-hmm.
Am I on 9?
Yeah, you're on 9.
Doing a good job.
9, I'm gonna do Rules of Extraction. Then 8, I'm gonna do, let's see, A Kiss While Dying. 7, I'll do Baby Shower. 6, I'm gonna go for, I think, Palace Intrigue Part 1. Then 5 was Part 2. Mm. 4, Filibuster. 3, Arrival Departure. Mm. 2. This one's hard.
So are the last two you have White Elephant and House Call?
I think I'm gonna go House Call, then White Elephant.
That's right.
Good choice. Good eps. That's the order I had those into. Yeah. Archer Vice, baby.
Let's go knock the pod episode out the park.
Hell yeah.
My favorite season. Such a good season.
It's great. It's really good. So I guess now we should decide and or announce that we're gonna take a break from Archer for a little bit. We will return to it at some point. Oh wait.
Stop it.
Our producer has something to say. Michael Yunez.
I just wanted to chime in. I didn't watch Archer Vice in anticipation for the podcast, but I do love it. Good times. And like you just mentioned, this will be it for Archer for now. But I do want to implore you guys, not just for the podcast, to watch a season 6 episode. It is called Vision Quest. I don't know if you guys have watched season 6 before at all. But there's a bottle episode called Vision Quest that is such a tribute to the characters and the running jokes that they've built up through the first 5 seasons of the show that I think privately you guys should, before we move on to our next show, you guys should watch it, because with all of this Archer fresh in your minds, I feel like that episode is just an all-timer for me.
That's a good episode. That's great. That's the elevator one, right?
Yep.
Yeah, that is a great episode. Maybe, you know, I've been enjoying Archer, so I might even just watch through it and take notes just in preparation for whenever we get back to it. But but we got some other stuff to watch. I gotta watch that back on your notes. Yeah, try to remember what they were. Oh man. Yeah, so that's that. So that's our Archer miniseries for now. And I believe what we're going to be moving on to, what Tariq and I have decided to move on to, is a little show called Home Movies. One of the earliest Adult Swim original animated series, which it started on like UPN, right? It started on a different channel.
It started on UPN. And then they were like, we don't want this shit.
Like every other cartoon UPN made.
Right.
Right.
It's like Baby Blues, except they didn't make any more, allegedly.
It's like Baby Blues or Mission Hill or just keep going.
So I'm excited. Home Movies is one of my... Home Movies is a favorite of mine. It's like a nighttime sleepy time show for me. I usually put it on before I go to bed, and it's like I giggle myself to sleep. I'm very excited to cover it. So we'll do it's 4 seasons long, 10 episodes a piece. It'll be relatively easy for us to cruise through. So over the next 2 months you'll get a bunch of Home Movies, and then we'll decide from there what we move on to next. And that's where we're at. That's where we're at right now. So Home Movies, you can watch it on HBO Max if you are trying to follow along. And I'm very, very excited to watch through it and talk about it because it's a great show.
Can't wait.
So I guess before we sign off, I just want to remind you, Patreon's live. If you like our content and you want more of it, you get extra episodes every month if you sign up for the Patreon. And they're fun. Our first one's out and it's fun.
I'm on there a lot more too, so
it's true. If you're a Mikey stan and you want more Mikey, then you gotta
you do.
But yeah, Mikey's
Mikey head, subscribe to the Patreon.
Mikey Hive, rise.
This is Mikey's plan.
Micophiles.
This is Mikey's plan all along. We're gonna build up the pod, and then he's gonna gain his own cult following in the Patreon, and then he's gonna spin off into his own thing.
I'm gonna spin off.
Mikey with an exclamation.
It's a new video for all my fans. I'm all my boom mics out there.
Boom mics.
Eventually I'll be starting the podcast and I'll be like, welcome to Cartoons That Curse. Here are my guests, Johnny Two
Fan favorites.
He's just taking it over.
Once again.
I'll gaslight you guys. I'll be like, guys, it's always been my podcast.
Don't you remember? He gets like Carrie just to draw him 2 times.
It's just 2 Mikey on both sides.
Dude, I'm like, guys, what was the last time you looked at that logo? Have you looked closely? It's mean on both sides.
Oh my god! I really did bring this to the podcast. You guys talked about waterboarding and gaslighting.
Yeah. Two of my favorite things. You, just kidding.
Look what follows you.
Oh man. All right. Well, that seems like the time to sign off. Dean, D'Angelo, you want to plug yourself? What do you got? Tell us about you. Tell us what you got to.
We keep
to
fucking
plug.
Calling him Dean. They don't know what we're doing.
I know, D'Angelo. I'm just so used to calling him Dean. No one else does that except for us.
Yeah. It's fine,
D'Angelo.
But yep, D'Angelo. Me. D'Angelo. I'm D'Angelo. That's me. Okay, so I'm D'Angelo. I run a YouTube channel called Hats Off Media. I've recently returned to making videos, so you can expect a lot more coming from me soon. I recently did a video about this really weird manga I read. It's really good. It's one of my favorite videos I've ever made. I worked really hard on that one. Some of my other favorite videos I like are, I did like an hour-long video about the Addams Family history. I've talked about a bunch of other stuff. I just like talking about stuff that I think deserves to be talked about, or maybe was talked about unfairly. You can also find me at Hats Off Media on Twitter, where I post a lot of my art. So I'm mostly split between YouTube and Twitter, but same name, Hats Off Media. Check me out there.
Hell yeah. Everyone go do that. Hats Off Media, quality stuff. Hats off to Hats Off Media. And with that... the first thing I want to say is check out the Patreon. I also want to say thank you to Michael Yunez for producing and editing the show. Thank you to Carrie Feek for our terrific artwork. Thank you to Jake Neutron for our amazing theme song. Thank you, D'Angelo, for joining us today as our special guest. Thank you to Toonrific Tariq, my friend, who is now in a whole different state and city. But we still love him. Whole new background.
Address redacted.
Oh yeah, I need your new address. I do need your new address so I can keep sending you stuff. Keep sending you random garbage.
Hey, I just saged the whole house. Don't send no frog shit here. All right, I can't have that shit in here anymore. No more frogs. I can't get another woman small T-shirt.
All right, just send me. Just send me your address, and I promise that I won't do any more frog stuff.
Wait, why'd you put it in front?
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about.
You see, I got you. I won't. I promise, no frogs.
No frogs. No frogs at all.
Just wait till the house warming.
All right. Well, that's enough.
Yeah, give me a fucking lily pad. All right, let's get out of here.
They need a house. You know what? They need a house warming because they're cold blooded. And with that, I want to say thank you for tuning in and thank you very much. Goodbye.
Yeah.